WNTN, home of Region Echoes, the longest running Greek American program in the country.
It is 5 minutes past 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning, our Sunday morning big show. I'm your host, Teddy Dimitriadis, along with Nicoleta Papavoyani. We always have our largest audience right around 10 a.m. on Sundays. Calimera, we've been doing this for 75 years. And we thank you so very much for setting your radios to the right spot. 1550 a.m. here, good old-fashioned AM radio. And our signal streams around the globe on our websites, GrecianEchoes.com and WNTN.com. All your devices, cell phones, laptops, desktops, iPads, Sonos sound systems. Alexa, play WNTN radio. Stream us through your Bluetooth speakers or through your Bluetooth automobile function. Tune in radio, WNTN. Search for our call letters. So if there is a will, there is a way. I am really excited this morning to basically introduce you to a program, a ministry that is spearheaded by my good friend and Alpha Omega brother, Peter Panagopoulos, and of course, Peter's dad, Teddy Panagopoulos, that so many of us remember over at the Newton Marriott. As a matter of fact, the Newton Marriott was a solid gold sponsor of ours all during your dad's tenure. He introduced upper management to Grecian Echoes and so many functions throughout the year at the Newton Marriott. And well, once he left there, so did the account. That's how that goes. But nonetheless, Peter is involved in peace ministry, physical and emotional abilities, challenges, and embrace. Peter and his wife Maria have two children with autism. And it has become one of his life's missions to spread the word on and the ministry to these special, special children. So I'm going to leave most of the introduction to Peter. He's had the vision and he continues. Peter, good morning. Kalimera, kalos ithes. And the fall season is upon us and Halloween as well. So good morning.
Kalimera, good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me here today, Teddy. Yes, yeah, so, you know, and I wish I could say I take credit for the peace ministry. It's actually a ministry that started, you know, several years ago. Mm-hmm. And as parents of kids with special needs, Maria and I just both went to the service. It was started by a couple families at St. Athanasius in Arlington. Mm-hmm. We really loved what we saw, and we knew that we wanted to get involved. And, you know, the vision of their ministry was always really to expand it. You know, we wanted to try to reach families all around, ideally New England, and you know, have different parishes as a, you know, future goal really help participate so that these special needs participants had somewhere to go. Mm-hmm. So from a few years ago, probably in 2017, I had approached Father Nick Kroumidas and mm-hmm. Father Vinny Minucci in St. Demetrios. They could not have been more supportive. The Philoptikos Society, the parish council, everybody, all the dedicated parishioners were all on board and said, let's do this. Mm-hmm. We basically fast-tracked the mission, and we started it in, I think it was 2018, when we did our first ministry. Really what it's meant to do is, you know, the purpose is to offer any individual, children and young adults and adults with special needs, the opportunity to come into and to the church for a dedicated service to them. And then we're also looking to raise awareness for the larger community so that everyone's aware of this and is respectful of inclusion and acceptance. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's been a great service so far. I can go into how it works if that sounds good.
Absolutely. I want to talk, before we get into that, special needs. Mm-hmm. There are an awful lot of special needs humans, let alone children.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
An awful lot. I can think of 20 Greek families and 20 non-Greek families of close college friends, high school friends, who all have special needs children. And, you know, the Greeks, we all grew up with our parents. At sometimes in the olden days, a lot of this was hidden. You know, I don't want to make too much about this, but it was somewhat hidden. And things have changed. No doubt things have changed. I don't know any parent who has a special needs child who doesn't feel blessed. And those are some tough words, because the feeling seems to be so mutual, Peter, from what I see, knowing you, mm-hmm. knowing, you know, I don't want to point out any special families, but close friends.
Yeah.
Close friends. And the joy and the love that these children can bring into a family and the reality of what this is all about is mm-hmm. is special.
You know, it's a calling, that's for sure. And, you know, there's a lot, you know, you sort of, you don't ask for it, and then, you know, you have to sort of
get
on board and go through all the stages, and then when you get to the point where, like, this is what it's going to be, and like you said, it's definitely a blessing, and, you know, a lot of, first of all, you're also right, the disability community is huge, and, uh-huh. You know, I think I read that there's, like, 1 in 4 that classify as a disability.
I heard, yes, close to 20%.
Yeah.
Have a disability. 20%.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I read something this past week that with COVID and this younger generation, you know, mm-hmm. mental health comes into play too.
Exactly.
Mental health comes in, that the numbers are increasing, they're not decreasing.
Yeah. And this ministry, you know, it acknowledges physical and cognitive and mental illnesses. It helps an accommodation for anyone in this service. So, you know, a lot of individuals with special needs, they don't come to church, Teddy. Like, mm-hmm. so you said, you know, like 20 families. We don't see that many necessarily coming to the mission. We want to see more coming, but, you know, for whatever reason, from what I've personally heard from people that I've reached out to, you know, there's concern sometimes that maybe the setting is inappropriate for their physical or cognitively disabled special needs family member. They might feel like it might be disruptive to the church. They might feel like the supports aren't mm-hmm. there, whatever. A child might not have the right support, for example, in a Sunday school. There's that stuff, but, you know, you know, like you said, these special needs ministries, they're becoming more and more. They're actually not as rare as I think they used to be when we were growing up.
Right.
I don't remember hearing anything.
Nothing.
And I remember even when the doctor gave us our diagnosis, I was like, okay, I got to go to Google because I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm going to look this up and I can't completely understand it.
Right. And yeah. I think from what I understand, like I've heard like the New York City tri-state area, like they've developed something like this over time and have gotten a lot of families involved and a lot of churches. And it becomes this big, you know, tri-state area sort of community where they rotate churches and do it. So it exists, and that's always reassuring. And, you know, I think the church just needs to be accepting for all families and special needs with their parents that, you know, they're loved. And when you think about it, Jesus was the first person who did the special needs ministry. You know, he helped, you know, disabled people and did a lot of the miracles early on. And if you read the Bible, and so if we're really going to be like Jesus, we need to welcome and accept these families into our church and minister them.
Peter, I'm curious. You're a very faithful person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Are you more faithful now after your children's situation?
I think so. I mean, I think, you know, one of the things that how Marie and I responded differently was we leaned into the church as opposed to away from it. Because it was hard. In the beginning, I'll admit, like, you know, our kids didn't look any different, but you know there was behaviors that maybe you don't want people to think, you know, what's happening
yep.
there. But we wanted to make it work, so you know we were able to work with Father Nick and Father Vinny for the right accommodations. For example, you know, like for my kids, communion still sometimes it becomes a challenge receiving communion.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, doing that after the service, having a dedicated area of the church that's a quiet room that St. Demetrius happens to have, a few other churches have as well. A lot of it really is for mothers with young children, but mm-hmm. it's also a great place for people who might need to move around a little bit, might need to make some noises, but they can still watch the service and see it live.
I understand, and they get it.
Yeah.
They get it.
So we looked at all the different solutions. In fact, we were going to the chapel at St. Demetrius for a couple mm-hmm. of years, where you could hear the audio and you could see it, but there was maybe one or two other parishioners there, but it was not, so the boys could move around freely and mm-hmm. sort of do mm-hmm. their thing. And that's actually where we have the peace ministry, is at the chapel.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit more intimate. It's not the big church, and it gives people the opportunity to do what they want to do.
You know, given the size and shape of our, let's say, metropolis area,
mm-hmm.
okay, 46 churches, I believe, is the number, all throughout New England. I would venture to say there are, right, I think it's a safe assumption to say there are hundreds, high hundreds, if not thousands, of, you know, peace children. And I really want to focus on, I don't know who came up with PEACE Ministry, the actual acronym, Physical and Emotional Abilities Challenges Embraced.
So
into peace.
There, like I said, there was a couple of families in Arlington that started this ministry, and so I can't say credit even for the name. I know Nick and Tanya Stamoulis and Althea and Mike Yakomidis, among others, you know, helped start it. And so I think, you know, they helped also come up with the name. And,
good job.
Yeah.
I'm going to give them a good job.
I agree.
Give them a 10 on that one. I'm going to give them a 10 on that one. Yeah. All right, so let's go over. First of all, let's discuss the actual service. Your next service is scheduled, and they do it basically right after church. Let me get the sheet. I got it right here.
Yeah.
PEACE Ministry will be held Sunday, November 20th. So basically, that's 4 weeks from today, Sunday, November 20th, and you're doing it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon after the regular church service at the St. Demetrius Chapel.
Yep.
So tell us about exactly what families, and I'm going to assume that this is also, although the chapel, you know, they'll move it into the church maybe if we get a lot of attendees. And do you also encourage others to come and witness this?
Absolutely. So like I said, we've had a lot of support from the church. So there's actually been a lot of parishioners that have come just to like help and observe and you know, do what they need to. And, you know, we always encourage special needs participants to bring their families, caregivers, their extended community. Like I know my son's Kubadi like to come and Nuna. So like there's people that definitely come to support it, and it makes it for a loving, and everyone, the only sort of price of entry is that you're accepting and understanding. And you know, the way it starts is there's usually like a 15 to 20 minute, very brief service. It's sensory friendly. It's not very loud. We have sensory toys and other things for people who might just need to have something in their hands.
Something to kind of, keep themselves,
Exactly. And then we also have, you know, there's room for people to move around if they need to. Noises are tolerated. Mm-hmm. And Father Vinny will do a service that really is tailored to the audience. So he'll have a sermon. He'll have he'll speak in a way that resonates with everyone. He'll pause when he needs to, if he'll pivot where he has to as mm-hmm. well. But it really is short so that it captures everyone's attention. And then we do offer Holy Communion in however it is, you know, to all the participants. And, you know, there's the amount of time the Father will take with communion, the assistance that might be needed, whether someone needs physical help or just time, all that is part of the service. So there's no, like, worrying about holding up the line or anything like that.
Peter, when we do talk about, you know, emotional abilities, challenges, physical and mental, you know, autism, Down syndrome, what are some of the other, you know, shall we say, you know, disabilities that are common that might ring a bell to our listening audience?
I think the ones you mentioned are definitely probably the primary ones. I'm trying to remember, out of participants that we've seen, there's others who have very specific names, to be honest, that I don't always know.
And they're more unique,
they're
right?
They're more unique.
Yeah. They're more unique,
But they all sort of stem from, you know, cognitively, you know, brain type of imperfections and things like that.
Yeah, what about physical, basically, you know, a kid that may be, you know, even an amputee or something like that?
Absolutely.
You've seen all of that.
Absolutely. We've had participants that have been, you know, paralyzed and that are in wheelchairs and that, you know, sometimes it's just the church that they go to. Hopefully we'll even have the ramp to get in there, but
that's right.
Also just to be able to stay, to sit, you know, have a place to stay in the service as well.
You know, this is really informative, and I want Nicoletta to kind of explain a little bit in Greek to our listening audience exactly what your ministry is all about.
Of course. Να πούμε καταρχάς συγχαρητήρια σε αυτή τη πολύ μεγάλη προσπάθεια, και νομίζω ότι και ο ρόλος της Εκκλησίας είναι αυτός, να ενσωματώνει όλα τα μέλη της και όλοι να έχουν θέση σε αυτήν. Έτσι λοιπόν, με πρωτοβουλία του κύριου Παναγόπουλου και της συζύγου του Μαρίας, αυτό το οποίο θα λάβει χώρα το επόμενο διάστημα είναι πολύ ωραίες εκδηλώσεις αγάπης, όπου οι άνθρωποι με τις ιδιαίτερες δυνατότητες θα έχουν τη δυνατότητα να παρακολουθήσουν στην Εκκλησία. Έτσι λοιπόν, πολλοίς κόσμος, του οποίου τα παιδιά αντιμετωπίζουν πρόβλημα οι ίδιοι για διάφορους λόγους, είτε επειδή δεν αισθάνονται άνετα, είτε μπορεί επειδή υπάρχει υπερκινητικότητα στα μικρά παιδιά, δεν πάνε στην Εκκλησία. Με πρωτοβουλία λοιπόν του Αγίου Δημητρίου της Εκκλησίας μας στο Ουέστον και με τη συνδρομή του κυρίου Παναγόπουλου και άλλων γονιών ξεκινάνε να γίνονται λειτουργίες και συναντήσεις αμέσως μετά το εκκλησίασμα, όπου όλοι αυτοί οι άνθρωποι με τις ιδιαίτερες δυνατότητες μπορούν να πάνε, να αισθανθούν πολύ πιο άνετα, γιατί η αλήθεια είναι ότι και κάποιος ο οποίος έχει ένα παιδάκι που είναι πολύ κινητικό, νιώθει λίγο άβολα να πάει στην εκκλησία και αυτό να τρέχει την ώρα της λειτουργίας, λέει τι θα σκεφτεί ο ένας, θα σκεφτεί ο άλλος. Οπότε αυτό είναι εξαιρετική πρωτοβουλία, όπου αυτοί οι άνθρωποι μπορούν να πάνε με ηρεμία και με γαλήνη στην ψυχή, να προσευχηθούν, να συναντήσουν και άλλους ανθρώπους που έχουν κοινούς προβληματισμούς, σκέφτονται τα ίδια πράγματα, να μοιραστούν έτσι τις σκέψεις τους και την παρέα τους. Και είναι εξαιρετικό, πολύ πολύ ωραία η πρωτοβουλία σας, πολλά συγχαρητήρια. Νομίζω ότι πολλοί από τους ακροατές που μας ακούνε τώρα νιώθουν πολύ όμορφα, γιατί είναι αυτό ότι όταν κάποιος έχει ένα πρόβλημα μέσα στο σπίτι του, θέλει να το... είναι αυτά τα στερεότυπα, το κρύβει, το κουκουλώνει που λέμε. Λοιπόν, είναι πολύ σημαντικό, δεν είναι πρόβλημα αυτό, είναι μια καθημερινότητα. Σε κάθε σχολείο υπάρχουν παιδάκια με αυτές τις δυνατότητες. Πολλά από αυτά τα παιδάκια είναι πολύ πιο έξυπνα. Yeah. Είναι πάρα πολύ δυναμικά, έξυπνα. Λοιπόν, όλοι να υποστηρίξουμε αυτή την πρωτοβουλία και Τέντ, εσύ πρέπει να το βοηθήσεις πάρα πολύ που καθημερινά είσαι στο μικρόφωνο.
I think it's so very important and that's why when Peter reached out to me a couple of weeks ago, are you kidding me? You know, we've got to grow this. We have to grow this. Mm-hmm. You know what? You're involved in it on a daily basis, and this is, you know, this is the church is taking lead on this. But talk to us a little bit about, you know, the actual, you know, where do your two kids go to school? They're involved in a public school system. How are they being adapted to? How are they being treated? What is, you know, for those of us who are blind to this, you know, what services are available to children today? And are the services better if you live in, you know, Weston and the nice towns as opposed to living in, you know, the city, the heart of the city?
So I have two boys who both, you know, benefit from an autism school. It's called New England Center for Children. And what's fortunate for us is the town that we live in Sudbury, the program is actually offered through the public school. So instead of, you know, the boys are first going to the day program at the New England Center for Children, which is in Southborough, but ever since kindergarten, it's been part of the school system. Mm-hmm. So it's great. So that, you know, we feel part of the school community, they're part of it. And so basically those teachers are integrated into our public school.
Into your public, that's so the Sudbury public school system.
Yeah, so there's a separate classroom for these children with autism. So
can you give us the size and shape of the particular classroom?
I mean, they do it by age groups, and you know, I think everyone, like the boys, for example, in the middle school, I think they're, you know, each class has about, you know, 5 to 8.
Okay. It's not one or two. It's a group.
It actually, you know, it makes a lot of sense for the town to actually be able to do it, because otherwise you're sending all these children out of state, out of district, or whatever. Yeah. So it's been good. I can't speak to all the different towns. You know, I think sometimes it doesn't always, from what I understand, correlate with, you know, maybe some of the best towns who have some of the best education programs for general ed might not always have the best for special ed. I think you just have to look at what their budgets are, what they're dedicated to.
Sure, it makes sense. Yeah. So I think what kind of awareness the town has brought in and what kind of demand there is in a particular town. Yeah. I mean, it all comes into play.
So all I can speak about is for my town, and you know, we've been happy. Mm-hmm. And it's been a collaborative process, but we've been happy about it. So, you know, I think like with every disability, it varies so much, so do the services and everything else. But there's some great things that are out there, and, you know, the boys have been able to participate in a lot of extracurricular programs and, you know, and sports programs and other programs. Yeah. So they've been good. And then, you know, like I said, with starting the special needs service at our church, you know, and the support that we've gotten in our community, it's been really great. You know, both of my boys we actually worked with an outside person from Hellenic College that worked with us. So we would go there on Sundays, go to the chapel, and we would do our own church service, our own Sunday school type of lesson for many years as the boys were younger. And we had the seminarian who sort of helped, you know, with Maria and I to give these lessons to the boys, and so that they would still learn a little bit about the church and get a sense of it, because the Sunday school wasn't really, the boys weren't going to do well in a bigger group like that. So that was something that started. My one son, Teddy, has now become an altar boy at the church, and, you know, through the amazing help of the older altar boys when he first started, that like kind of helped guide him and you know, the understanding of everybody.
How is the acceptance, not just for your boys, but in general, what do you see the acceptance from? I find this younger generation, our kids' generation. Very empathetic.
Everybody understands. I agree. I see, especially like my boys' cousins, or like, you know, other like you said, other family members that I have, or even friends that I have whose kids are in general ed programs. They don't bat an eye, or they don't seem to flinch when they're even around them. Mm-hmm. And it's like my boys are in a soccer program where there's volunteers from the local high school, and like they're all just they get it, and they just roll with it.
Of course.
Whereas I feel like, you know, when we were growing up, it was rare, and I don't think I saw that even.
So. I couldn't agree with you more. Growing up,
I can totally understand that you have worked very hard. You have been supportive to your kids. Και αυτό πρέπει να γίνεται από όλους, φυσικά, τους γονείς, και το σημαντικότερο από την κοινότητα, έτσι, η οποία πρέπει να ενσωματώνει όλα τα μέλη. Λοιπόν, πολλά συγχαρητήρια.
I just want one more thing I want to talk about. Yep. Yeah, okay. I see here music therapy.
Yes.
Music therapy. What do you know about that?
So thank you for pointing that out. So after the 15-minute service, we usually do like a coffee hour fellowship for this community. And because it's still building and we're getting families to come, you know, we're keeping, like, for example, the next one on November 20th simple. It's going to be it'll be a coffee hour where people can get to know each other. We've done in the past other events that we know that most of the participants have been children. This is something that has been designed that can accommodate young adults as well. But for the children, we've brought in things that would be a nice complement to the service. So music therapy is one thing where there's music therapists that we work with that do these, you know, 15, 20-minute, you know, sessions with kids where they'll be on the floor, they'll have a guitar, and they'll make it interactive.
And the children interact.
Totally interact. They, you know, they're given instruments. It's, in some ways, it looks like what a typical, you know, music program might look like for kids, but it's these folks just have an empathy and a way of connecting with these kids and knowing how to do it. We also had, you know, a woman named Jenny the Juggler. She's this local, and she, like, you know, gets all dressed up and does these, and she brought live animals, and she just was able to do it in a way that no kid felt intimidated by it. And so we do little programs like that. We've done crafts and we'll do more of that, but it's the calling is really to get everybody to start coming. Once we get the families to come, we'll plan more of those events.
All right, closing out, I want to talk about a little bit about the mentors of these children. Those, you know, they work with special needs children all day long in all levels. You know, my youngest daughter is she's an occupational therapist, and her previous job, she had very many special needs children that performing, you know, occupational therapy. And it takes a special person to have the empathy to do that. Very difficult. Many, you know, some people have means that they can have, you know, private help if need be, and very special people to do that, you know what I mean? Tell us a little bit about your experience about those who spend their careers, in a sense, helping others.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's for those who do it and do it well, it's a very special person, because it's someone who is, you know, putting a lot of themselves out there, and, you know, just has a way of connecting with people that don't connect with a lot of others.
Yeah.
So, you know, people like your daughter, I'm sure that they don't do it. They do it for this, you know, for the love and sort of satisfaction of just being able to help community come along.
Yeah.
And, you know, it takes a lot of special people, because everyone, you stop anybody and they'll say, yes, of course, we want these special needs folks to, you know, do well in life and mature. But, you know, the people that actually roll up their sleeves every day and do it, I do admire them. And we've had some great people along the way and continue to have great people in my experience for our kids too. But when I see anyone that does it and that really, like, puts their heart into it, it is pretty amazing.
Yeah. I can't thank you enough. I want to continue this. I envision us bringing in a special needs child into our studios, maybe once a month, once every other month, to actually introduce them to our listening audience. This program must continue.
Και μακάρι έτσι να ξεκινήσει και σε όλες τις
ενορίες
μας.
Create the,
νομίζω ότι το γεγονός ότι ο κύριος Παναγόπουλος, και ξέρουμε πόσο σημαντικός και επιτυχημένος είναι στη δουλειά του το τρέχει, that makes sense. Γιατί είστε καλός manager, οπότε θα τα κάνετε όλα.
Just for the record and for our listening audience, professionally, Peter, what do you do?
Oh, I work in marketing at Fidelity Investments.
Yeah, there you go. And your wife? We got to acknowledge your beautiful wife.
Thank you. Yeah, Maria's fantastic. She's currently working for the boys. She says that they're her boss right now.
There you go.
Her job, previously she was a PR director at Channel 7 News, and before that in promotions at Kiss 108.
Terrific. Yeah. And like I said, you know, I feel as if you and I are family. The relationship stemmed with my dad and your dad, and I know they're up there, and they're probably listening and saying, what are they saying? What are they saying, those guys? But Peter, be well. Your mission. I'm going to ask you to kindly invite the entire audience to your next get together.
Thank you. So we encourage everyone to learn more about the Peace Ministry, and we would love to see everyone come to our next event at St. Demetrius Chapel on Sunday, November 20th at 1 p.m.
Perfect.
Okay.
Peter Panagopoulos.
Thank you.
Alpha Omega Brother Strong right there.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.